A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport-on-Tee Church of Scotland. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
On behalf of our congregation and parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshipping with us for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long while. And I will also wish to welcome myself back from Cameroon. Please join us after the service for teas and coffees and other sweeties and share fellowship with us. At the start of the service, I think the youth worker has got a few intimations.
Just the one. As most of you may know, our Newport Festival is happening on Saturday, 24th of June, which is exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. As part of the festival, we've been asked to run like a welfare tent where people can come get some free drinks, like as in water, tea, coffee, a space to relax in some shelter, get some sunscreen because it's going to be really sunny and all of that. We're looking for some people to sign up. We've got some sign-ups from last week. We're only asking half an hour to set up or half an hour to clear up our tent. So if you can only spare half an hour, there's space in the morning and in the afternoon. But if you feel like, you know what, I've got a great servant heart and a big smile and you want to do an hour, there's also our sign-up sheets throughout the day. Don't worry about leader one or leader two. They're the same role. I just had to find a place. If you're in that place, you're just basically serving folk what they would like with water, tea, coffee, etc. If you're the runner, you don't need to run. Don't worry. You just need to go between the tent and the kitchen to bring cups, backwards or forwards, or getting anything that we need. And if you're in the kitchen, you're basically washing the dishes, getting the tea and coffee ready, that kind of thing. So please come and sign up with me at the end of the service. That would be amazing. Thank you.
How nice to see so many people in church this morning. And a full Sunday school class, so many children. I'm going to ask all of us to take a moment of silence, if at all we may find silence with our children in church, as we prepare ourselves for worship. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. It's 124.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we come before your presence this morning, those of us present here in church, others via Zoom, and those who will be listening to our service afterwards from our church's website. We come with humble hearts, acknowledging your sovereignty and the privilege of communing with you. As the prophet Ezekiel was commissioned to be a watchman, we recognize our responsibility to listen to your voice and to declare your truth. Yet, O Lord, we confess that we have not always been faithful in this task. We have allowed distractions and worldly desires to overshadow your call. Forgive us for neglecting the proclamation of your word and failing to warn others of the consequences of their actions. We acknowledge that we too have stumbled in our own lives. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have fallen short of your glory and have not lived according to your righteous standards. Have mercy on us, O God, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we come before you today, we ask for your grace and strength to fulfill the calling you have placed upon our lives. Help us to be watchful, discerning the signs of the times and boldly sharing your truth with love and compassion. May our lives reflect your grace, and may our words bring hope and transformation to those who hear. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. One more step along the world I go is our next hymn, 530.
Thank you.
morning, children. Good morning, children. Good morning. Many, many children today, indeed. And how are you all doing today? Doing good? Are you looking forward to the summer holidays? Very much so. This morning, I want to talk about a story, and in the Bible, it's called the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. But before we come to our story, we will begin with a few questions. How many of you use alarm clocks? Okay, a few of you. What do you use them for? Yes? To wake you up. Very good. Is there any other use for alarm clocks? Yes?
To make sure you are on time.
Brilliant. To wake you up, to make sure you are on time. So it's not only waking you up, but maybe you want to do something at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you set your alarm clock. Now, I also use alarm clocks, but not often, because it seems as if my body knows when to wake up and what to do at what time. But alarm clocks are very important because they alert us and, you know, they remind us of the schedules that we have made so that we are on time to do things we've set out to do. And most alarm clocks have what is called a snooze button. Do you know what a snooze button is? Do you know what that is? What is that? What's the use of that? Yes. Well, I think when the alarm goes off, you can simply touch that button, the snooze button, and what will happen? It will stop. Okay? So, for example, if in the morning you ask your alarm clock to wake you up at 5:30, and it starts making clink, 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 what do? You can just touch the snooze button. Pop. What will happen? It will go off, and you can go back to sleep. If you don't want to wake up. And then, after 10 minutes or so, the alarm goes off again. And if you don't want to wake up, what do? Press it again. And go back to sleep. Now, but two things can happen when you do that. If you wanted to get out of bed for 5:30 in the morning, and you pressed that snooze button, and the alarm stopped, you'll probably miss what you wanted to do at that particular time. But another thing can also happen. You can become too used to that you don't even mind any longer whether that alarm is on or off. Now, the story of Lazarus and rich man involves an alarm, a warning. We are told that there was this rich man, he had everything, and then Lazarus was poor. And so Lazarus went at this rich man's gate and sat there, hoping that when the rich man came out and was going to work or somewhere else, he will take pity on him and give him something, maybe food to help him. But the rich man passed by and did nothing. So something happened when both of them died. And we are told in scripture that when we are not in this world, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. So the rich man did not go to heaven. He was in another place and Lazarus was in a different place. And while he was in that place, he was suffering. But Lazarus had a good life. And he was longing only for water because he was so thirsty. Because of his experience, he decided to ask that Abraham should send angels to his family to warn them to be kind to people so that they would not have the same experience like himself.
What the alarm clock does, it warns us, or it alerts us to the things we need to do. And if we don't do them, we miss out on these things, or we become too used to things which are not proper, the things that we are supposed to be doing. So, what are we supposed to do as children of God when we see people who are suffering? Almost all hands are up. What are we supposed to do? Yes. Try and help them. Yes. Give them food and water to drink. Do you have food and water to give them? If you don't have them, how will you get them to give? You can talk to your parents about some poor persons you've met, and they will be able to help. What more can we do? Yes? Pick the food. Okay, I don't know about that. Is it like picking... growing vegetables. Oh, that's a good one. You can even pick strawberries and put them on the shops up the hill so that we can buy them. So, again, there are many, many warning signs that God is giving to us these days. And God is speaking to us through ministers like myself and other people who preach the word, asking us to be good children, to be good Sunday school children, to be good at home, and to do the things that we are supposed to do. And take, for example, if your parents tell you to study and you refuse to study, what will happen in future? Yes? Something bad will happen, and that thing is like, you will not be knowledgeable, maybe. Because if you don't go to school, sometimes you may find it difficult to cope with life. Or if you don't follow instructions from your parents, you may miss your way and end up not in a very good way. So we must take instructions and we must follow the warning signs. Listen to our parents, listen to our Sunday school teachers, listen to the minister, listen to our elder brothers and sisters, and all those who advise us. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and especially for our children. And we thank you for your life-giving word, which is meant to shape and to transform us. We pray now especially for our children, as young as they are. They may not understand the deep things of Scripture, but Father, we know that you would open their minds and help them, O Father, to grow in their faith and to follow your laws. We ask, O Father, for your wisdom for all of us, that we may heed to the warning signs and the alerts which you bring through Scripture to us. Grant us grace to follow you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. We sing stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
The Old Testament passage is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, a warning to Israel. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked person will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things that I did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live, because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. And the New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, reading verses 19 to 31, entitled The Rich Man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and soothe my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to here. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abram replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abram, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Amen, and may this blessing be given to you.
Unto God's name be glory and praise. Our next hymn, 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we reflect from your word this morning, we ask for wisdom and direction to speak clearly, to listen attentively, and to be willing to do what you call us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. A young minister in my home church told a story about his experience when he just graduated from seminary and went to his first parish. After preaching from the text, Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31, at the end of the service, a seemingly worthy man walked up to him and asked, "Pastor, from your text, do you mean that all rich people will suffer in hell and the poor ones will be in heaven?" And that seems to be an interesting question, because if we listened keenly and we read from Luke chapter 16, verse 25, we are told that Abraham replied to the rich man, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." So the question is, are the so-called rich going to end up in hell and the poor in heaven? The answer is no. This is not what this text is about. And I think a fitting theme would be a call to compassionate action. Because these two texts from Ezekiel and Luke speak about the care that we need to offer to people. In Ezekiel's time, God appointed him as a watchman over Israel. And the role of the watchman was crucial. They were responsible for warning the people of impending danger and calling them to repentance. However, God made it clear that if the watchman failed in their duty, the blood of the people would be on their hands. This passage reminds us that we are called to be watchmen and women in our world today. We are entrusted with the responsibility of being aware of the social, economic, and spiritual conditions of those around us. God calls us to be compassionate and proactive in addressing the needs of our neighbors. And just how important this call to action and compassionate care is, we find in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus tells a poignant parable about a rich man and a poor beggar named Lazarus. The rich man lived a life of luxury and abundance, while Lazarus suffered from extreme poverty and illness. Both men died, but their eternal destinies were drastically different. The rich man found himself in torment, while Lazarus rested in the bosom of Abraham. What this parable does is it compels us to examine our attitudes towards wealth, compassion, and caring for others. The problem here is not that the rich man is rich, but it is his indifference to Lazarus' suffering, which reflects a lack of compassion and a failure to recognize the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And so the text serves as a warning against the dangers of self-centeredness and neglecting the needs of those around us. God desires us to be aware of the needs and suffering of others and to respond with love, with empathy, and tangible assistance. Compassion is not merely a feeling, but an active commitment to alleviate suffering and promote justice in our world.
As Christian people, we are called to be living witnesses of God's love and mercy. We must allow the message of these scriptures to stir our hearts and move us to action. We cannot turn a blind eye to the Lazaruses in our midst, the marginalized, the oppressed, and the forgotten. God holds us accountable for how we respond to their needs. We Christian people must serve God with a vision to help the less fortunate of society. So the question to all of us this morning is, how do we respond to issues of poverty and injustice around us? Have we been proactive in meeting the needs of the less fortunate of our communities, or we are passive to their cry for help? William Booth was greatly stirred by the needs of the poor of London and realized that most churches were doing nothing to reach the so-called undesirables, that is, drunkards, morphine addicts, prostitutes, and the poor. He set out to reach them with what he called the three S's: soup, soap, and salvation. Thousands were served among those that most churches had no interest in reaching. Booth gave his life for the cause of reaching others. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be vigilant watchmen and women who are attentive to the cries of those in need. We must extend our hands in love and generosity, breaking down the barriers that separate us from our neighbors. May the Holy Spirit empower us to be instruments of God's love and compassion in our families, communities, and beyond. As we go forth from this place, may our lives be marked by a deep sense of compassion, a commitment to justice, and a genuine love for all God's children. And remember, compassion can't be measured in pounds and cents only. It comes with a price tag, but that price tag is not the amount of money spent. The price tag is love. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word to us this morning. And we thank you for your instructions that we do not care only for ourselves, but also for those who are less fortunate, those who are suffering and struggling in one way or the other. Give us a heart for them and a passion for service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We sing again from our hymn books, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You." It's hymn 694. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in gratitude for the abundance you have bestowed upon us. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, we are reminded of the importance of using our resources for your glory and the well-being of others. We acknowledge that all we possess is a gift from your hand, and we are called to be faithful stewards of these blessings. As we bring our offerings before you, we dedicate them to your service. May our giving be an act of worship, reflecting our love and obedience to you. We thank you, Lord, for the countless ways you have provided for us. You have clothed us, fed us, and sheltered us. You have blessed us with family, friends, and the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we offer our gifts, we also offer our lives. Help us to be generous and compassionate, sharing what we have with those in need. Give us wisdom to use our resources wisely and discernment to identify opportunities to make a difference in the lives of others. We give you thanks for your faithfulness and provision, and we pray that you would bless and multiply our offerings for your kingdom's work. Gracious and loving God, we come before your throne of grace, interceding on behalf of ourselves and our community. Just as Ezekiel was called to be a watchman, we pray for the leaders and members of our church to rise up as watchmen and women for our community. Grant us discernment and wisdom to see the needs that surround us and the courage to address them with compassion and love. We pray for those who are trapped in the cycle of poverty. Provide them with the necessary resources for their daily needs, such as food, clothing, and shelter. We ask for job opportunities and financial stability for those who are struggling. Bring comfort and hope to those who feel hopeless and discouraged. Father, we lift up those who are experiencing homelessness in our communities. Surround them with your love and protection, and guide the local authorities and organizations to provide adequate shelters and support services. Help the churches to be places of refuge and restoration for those who are without a home. We intercede for individuals who are caught in the grip of drug use and abuse. Bring healing to their bodies, minds, and spirits. Raise up counselors, therapists, and rehabilitation centers to provide the necessary support and resources for recovery. Help the church to extend a hand of compassion and understanding to those struggling with addiction, offering them hope and a path towards restoration. Lord, we also pray for the security and safety of our people. Protect us from violence, crime, and exploitation. Raise up community leaders who will work tirelessly to create an environment of peace, justice, and harmony. Grant the church the courage to be a voice for the voiceless and a beacon of light in the midst of darkness. We pray for ourselves, asking that you would help us to be attentive to the needs of those around us. Give us compassionate hearts, willing to reach out to the marginalized and offer hope and love in the name of Jesus Christ. May our church be a place of refuge, hope, and transformation for the community it serves. Empower our members to boldly proclaim your truth, demonstrating your love through practical acts of kindness and service. Strengthen our faith and unity as we strive to make a positive impact in the lives of those around us. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. you are able, please stand, and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our final hymn is that beautiful one, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. It's hymn number 555. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.